In the beginning, when you go to the optometrist, the correct diagnosis would be go outside more, spend less time in front of books, keep more distance from screens, and you'll be fine. But they don't do that. They sell you glasses because that's what they're trained to do. They're not lying to you. They're not trying to mislead you. That's just what they're taught.
Welcome to the show, Jake Steiner. Thank you for being here. Colin, of course, is here, but we're more interested in learning a little bit about you. Tell us who you are, the quick version, and then we'll get into this because Colin is chomping at the bit to ask some questions here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on. I totally appreciate it. So my name is Jake Steiner. I'm all kinds of things. I'm mainly an investor and stock trader. And then about 20 years ago, I kind of stumbled into this topic of eyesight. Myopia, short-sightedness. I used to wear very strong glasses. And it got to the point, I was actually in Bangkok at the time. I couldn't see the little taxi signs at night. And I went to an optometrist. They told me I need stronger glasses. They were super thick already. My eyes looked really tiny behind the lenses, right? Like the stronger your glasses are, the smaller everything behind them looks. And I was just sick of it and asked them what was up with that. And they said it's a genetic condition and there's nothing anybody could do. And that was kind of before internet for the most part. And I started doing research in libraries and I found that short-sightedness is not a genetic condition. There's a whole lot of scientific evidence what actually causes it. And I managed to reverse it. Like right now, listeners are not seeing the video, but I'm not wearing glasses. I don't need glasses. I have 20/20 eyesight. I've started a site called endmyopia.org. And now that's a pretty big global community of tons of people who are doing the same thing, getting rid of their glasses.
Wait, how do you spell that? What is the website?
Endmyopia, endmyopia.org.
And listeners, if you're interested, that's in the show notes. You can click it.
Yeah, that's super fascinating. So you tell me where we should go with the first intro to this, because like then I'm going to let my questions come out when I interrupt you from time to time.
My first favorite point of all this stuff is do your research before you get into any weirdness that people talk about on the internet. Especially when it comes to health stuff, especially when it comes to stuff people call prescriptions. My favorite website, scholar.google.com. It's all the clinical research that Google cataloged. So you're not looking at regular Google. You're not looking at weird internet stuff.
Right.
You're
just only looking at articles that show up.
Yeah, peer-reviewed clinical science. So everything that I talk about, you can find on Google Scholar. And I highly recommend doing that instead of trusting me. We just kind of talked before the show about titles. I don't have a title. I don't want a title. And I'm trying to get people to start thinking in terms of do a little bit of research as opposed to just trusting a person because of the title.
Yeah. So, okay, that's the disclaimer. Do your research. Now, you started with what sounded like a pretty severe eyesight issue where you had these like mega bifocals, or maybe they're called something else, where I'm envisioning the character from Office Space. Is that accurate? Didn't he have like the big thick glasses? And he's walking around.
They were strong enough. Okay. They were strong enough that if I take them off and I put them somewhere, I'd never find them again without glasses.
Because like, you couldn't see where they are.
Could not. No way.
Wow.
No way. Wow. I couldn't see anything without glasses. So I was pretty blind.
And what age did that start? Was this like through childhood or just out of nowhere one day you're like, bam, can't see?
Teenage years, pretty average. Couldn't read the board in school perfectly. Yeah, and parents took me to the optometrist, got glasses.
Okay. So tell me some of the lies and some of the misconceptions and some of the, how maybe the incentive structure and the actual profits that can be made, how has that warped the public's perception of eyesight? Like where were the best point to start that you think?
So when I first went to the optometrist, right, when I was a teenager, now it's kids that are even younger. You go to the optometrist, you get glasses. And what they don't tell you is that initially your eyes are fine. That sense that you can't see super clearly far away is something called pseudomyopia. If you go to Google Scholar and you type in pseudomyopia, you'll find like 50,000 clinical science references. And that is, there's a muscle in your eye that controls focus. And that muscle is tight when you look at something up close. And it's relaxed when you look at something in the distance. And when you spend too much time looking at something up close, like books or screens, that muscle spasms. So another term for that is near-induced transient myopia, also very popular on Google Scholar. In the beginning, when you go to the optometrist, the correct diagnosis would be go outside more, spend less time in front of books, keep more distance from screens, and you'll be fine. But they don't do that. They sell you glasses because that's what they're trained to do. They're not lying to you. They're not trying to mislead you. That's just what they're taught.
Yep.
Another little tiny interesting point is the wholesale cost of a pair of lenses is anywhere from $2 to $5. So when you pay $100 for glasses or $200 or $300 or $500, the profit margins are extreme. Yeah, massive. And I'm also a stock trader, and I have a fair amount of stuff in that industry just from years ago, and it's done extremely well. Because that's, you know, that's, and that's not going anywhere. Like right now in Hong Kong and China and a lot of Asian countries, the incidence rate of myopia, of short-sightedness in school-aged children is over 90%. So basically, everybody's a customer.
Yeah. I mean, you're growing up reading books, looking at screens, playing games, like up close. And, you know, that's, yeah. So before we were recording, I mentioned how I felt like my eyesight has gotten worse. And it really felt like it peaked maybe a couple of years ago. And then when I was driving back to Florida from Texas at night, I noticed like the lights and the signs and things, like I had to squint and do things like that. And I never in my life had to do that. So that obviously made me concerned. I've just put off even going to consult whether I should get glasses or not, because I just don't want to do it. Right. But I feel like since I've actually moved out to the country and I've incorporated more going outside, I've incorporated probably less net overall screen exposure, I felt like my eyesight's gotten better, but I haven't really recognized that. But now that I think about it, it seems like it's gotten better, especially my night vision when I'm driving. So you're saying that there could be some correlation to maybe lifestyle and what I'm doing, and that maybe the muscles relaxing or something?
Very likely. You can print an eye chart, by the way. You can buy one on Amazon or whatever and just hang it up somewhere so you can actually compare. Because for example, if you spend 4 hours binging Netflix on an iPad at like 40 centimeters from you at like barely arm's length, and you check that eye chart before and after, you're going to notice notably your vision is going to be worse after that, just because that muscle spasm. So a very temporary, and it very much depends on your habits, right? So even if you got a new phone or you got a new subscription to a thing and now you're sitting closer to it, or you're spending more time in a dark room in front of a screen, anything that makes that muscle tense for longer periods of time gives you a little bit of a spasm so you can't see clearly far away.
So are we talking about something that, like, if you just change the habit and give it a few weeks, you can return to a baseline? What about people that have been just doing this for years? Do they need like a literally a year of habit change? Like, what if, I mean, and again, I don't know, where do we even find this information? Is there research that talks about this, or is this just kind of like things you've been figuring out on your own?
The research exists for everything that causes myopia. For how to reverse it, that's kind my thing. But so, you know, half the story is out there, and it's just enough to get people started in when you go to the optometrist and they tell you it's genetic and you just go, I trust this guy, or this guy went to school versus me, random dude on the internet. That's why we say Google Scholar is your friend, pseudomyopia. And then what happens if you go to the optometrist, they will sell you glasses. And the problem that happens with glasses cause more myopia. There's something called hyperopic defocus that you can find on Google Scholar. When you put on glasses, they push the light back further in your eye. And there's a mechanism in your eye that continually adjusts the length of it throughout your whole life. And it causes the eye to elongate. And an elongated eye is a more short-sighted eye. So if you went to the optometrist right now and you got -1 diopter glasses, a year from now, those would again feel a little bit too weak. And that's how they get you, because then you go back again.
I'm getting angry.
Yeah, that's well.
Well, I mean, we were just talking about my girlfriend before this show started, and she just bought glasses at Warby Parker.
Oh, God.
Like 2 days ago, her prescription, she has been getting worse and worse. And now I'm sitting here thinking, maybe I just need to make her not play Candy Crush.
Well, yeah, but also, you guys probably don't, do you go outside enough? Do you go in the sunlight? Like, there's a lot of things you could probably do from a lifestyle perspective that could help with that. I feel like going outside is a big one. So, okay, before we get into like some of the remedies people can do, Let me just try to bottle up my anger by being now red-pilled with the eye industry, because again, I got one more thing I got to be red-pilled about, because we just had a whole discussion about getting red-pilled for all the crap going on. Now I got to worry about another industry. So for me, it's the food industry, the pharmaceutical industries, medical, sick care, all these things are basically big accidental conspiracies that there's a profit motive, there's lobbying, there's just a lot of nonsense. And I don't trust any doctors with anything, to be honest, right? That's just kind of my personal thing. So I don't even know if I had a question in there. Maybe I'm just ranting to get it out, but This just really pisses me off so much. So it's like, it's
that's when this whole thing started out. If you go back, Nmiopia's got like 1,200 or so individual articles, all of which I wrote. If you go back far enough, they were just rants. Because I used to be super angry. Because when I started improving my eyesight, I was excited. And I would go to optometrists and be like, check this out.
Yeah, and
the negative attitudes were just, just shocking.
They just write you and off. It's just like doctors that you lose weight, for example, and you're saying, oh, I'm eating like carnivore diet, or I'm eating a lot of meat and I'm like high fat. And they're just like, no, that can't be. You're an anomaly. Go away, basically. Right. It's the same. It's literally the same thing. It's like when people really understand how so much of our world is built on backward incentive structures and how science itself doesn't even get utilized enough in certain areas and policy, whatever, man, it's just so frustrating. So it sounds like now, is there a case where anybody needs glasses? Is there like a medical reason for why some people might need it, where it's not reversible, or are you not maybe even sure enough yet to make that assertion? Because it sounds like it's just a big scam at this point.
Of course, there are cases. There absolutely are cases, but they're rare. They're exceedingly rare.
Wow.
And just a couple more little points. When you're talking about lobbying, glasses are clear, curved pieces of plastic, right? I mean, they're literally, you can't hurt yourself with clear lenses. They were never prescriptions until the lens industry spent millions lobbying to make them prescriptions. Mm. So you could only buy them from optometrists. So they could
raise the price.
Up.
Yep.
Yeah, because you can buy reading glasses for $10, right? And reading glasses are plus lenses, and distance vision glasses are minus lenses. They're the same thing. So when you see $10 reading glasses, it's the same thing as distance glasses that you pay $100 at Warby Parker for. But because they made them prescriptions, right? Now you don't ask questions because they call you a patient and they call them prescriptions. And then when it's $200, it's $200. But it's just clear curved pieces of plastic.
I had never considered why are they prescriptions. That just my whole life. You've gotten prescriptions for glasses. I've never needed them, but that's what you do. You get your prescription. And then I'm thinking, well, other things that you need prescriptions for, you need, there can be dangers to giving somebody Adderall who doesn't need it or shouldn't have it. It's got an amphetamine in it. Like a lot of bad things that can happen from giving that kind of prescription. So it should be controlled. But yeah, what are we worried about people swallowing contact lenses? Like that's impressive that they were able to get that controlled.
Tylenol is way more dangerous than clear.
Yes. I was about to say something like that. Like a lot of the prescription drugs are just okay. Brent, feel free to throw some questions in there.
Symptom treatment is the default, right? And okay. So the thing to make you feel a little bit better about this is when I tell people, most people don't care. So it's not really just the optometrist. Most people love the quick fix.
Oh, yeah. They're complicit in it. Just like the pharmaceutical industry. People want a pill to solve their problems. They don't want to hear eat right, exercise, do whatever, right? Because that's hard. So what are treatments? Like, what does that look like? Is it like you got training programs? You have to go outside and do certain things? Because, again, these are hard things. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of people, maybe they don't want to hear the truth.
Yeah. Well, because the truth is you're addicted to your phone. And you're spending time in front of it. That's number one.
And you need healthy habits. And so what would that, I mean, your website, do people come to you or there and like they get access to like training? Do you like coach people through it? What, give me an idea of like what this looks like. Like if I'm saying, okay, I want to strengthen my eyesight. I already feel like I want to do it. So I'm going to be doing whatever you tell me to do at this point. I'm going to be doing this stuff. So what would you do with someone that's like, I'm on the verge, I'm going to get glasses, but I'm not sure or whatever. What can I do to maybe just see if I can improve it on my own?
There's a little tiny bit of a learning curve because what I found in the past with just trying to give people the steps, they always miss the understanding of what's going on with the biology, right? So there's a little tiny bit of having to understand like the thing that makes your eyesight better is challenging it a little tiny bit. Two pieces actually. One is reduce the strain. So the distance that you hold your phone from your face is really bad because the closer you get, the tighter that muscle is in your eye.
So further away is better?
The further it is, the more relaxed that muscle gets. The closer you get, the more that muscle has to tighten up to give you focus.
So could you overdo further away too? Could you overdo like long distance? Like if I was watching TV with big text like 20 feet away and I made that my default, that's not likely to cause an imbalance just the way short-sighted would on the other side?
Distance is fine. It's just close up is a problem. And the closer you get, the more you cause that spasm. Mm-hmm. And there's something even that appears to happen that when you keep taking the phone out and you keep taking your phone out, you do it over and over again, the muscle gets stuck in that position. So even if you just go from, I'm going to stop using my phone for browsing and I'm going to switch to a laptop that is at twice the distance, right? So you already reduce that strain by a lot, right? Even just like, because I get what people are saying. And one of my main approach is I don't want you to have to change your whole life to make this work, right? So it's little habit changes. It's just, okay, the phone is not a good distance. Anything that's this close, the less the better, right? The more distance, the better off you are. And then the second part is you know how to do this because you said at night you're squinting and doing stuff to clear things up. Challenging your eyes. Like if you're going to a coffee shop and there's a menu behind the barista and it's kind of hard to read, just staring at that thing for a little while and trying to clear up all the text and read all the text. Like that little bit of challenge, if you build it into a habit, continuously improves your eyesight. And the super, super short version of reversing your myopia is freaking simple. Is like I was at -5, right? They go in a quarter diopter increment. So it goes 0.25, 0.5, 0.75, 1, and it goes up like that. And basically, from my -5, I would just go down a quarter step, right? Like the smallest possible change. And then everything in the distance is a tiny little bit more blurry. And then I challenge my eyesight just regularly. And after 2 or 3 months, everything's perfectly clear. And then I go down another quarter step.
So you're saying you take your prescription and you drop it down each time, like less strong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's call it a subscription. So we don't play into the
subscription. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. These things are making sense now. What else though? Like, are there other tips? Do people need to have like some, do they have to buy a program? Like what are we looking at here?
It's a bit of a rabbit hole because once you get started, you for every question you have, for every answer you get, you have two more questions. That's why the site's huge. And we have a big Facebook group and we have a big forum. We have just generally a large community. I have a bunch of videos for troubleshooting and stuff. I'm giving you the super short starting point of reduce the strain, avoid the close-up, and challenge your eyes for a distance. Like when your girlfriend went to the optometrist, if she just got like a -1 or something like that, not wearing those and instead challenging her eyes would fix the problem. It might take 6 months, it might take a year, but she's fine right now. That's just giving her a lot of extra clarity that you get addicted to in a way. Like it's really hard to take those things back off because now she's like, wow, it's too blurry.
Yep.
You know? Right. Now I get to see the world in HD. So why would I go back to standard definition and try to do HD pushups?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
And it's really, it's that simple because every time she's going to go back to the optometrist, they're going to bump her subscription up by another quarter step, right? That's another sale. She's going to buy a new frame. She's going to buy new lenses. They're going to make 6,000% markup on that stuff. And then she's happy because she's like, wow, things are extra super clear again. And then next year she's going to come back and it's going to be another quarter step up. And what I'm saying is you can bump it down these same quarter steps every 3 to 4 months on average works for most people. So you're basically just reversing the story. It's not really any more complicated than that.
Do you have a bunch of success stories, like people that have talked about this or clients you've worked with, or what does that look like?
A zillion.
A zillion? Because,
yeah. I've been playing with this for the last 20 years. I've been fairly serious about it for the last 10. For example, our Facebook group has 17,000 some odd members that give progress reports all the time. I copy paste some out of emails. We have thousands on the website, literally thousands. And I recently finally started like a podcast style thing where we talk about progress updates. And I just started it recently. Right now there's like 20 or 30 episodes or so in there, but I've got 500 more I can do. Because if you commit to it and you care and you want to improve your eyesight, you will. There's no, you know, nobody fails at it or very rarely.
Have you had any people that have struggled? Like, what are some of the sticking points with somebody? Like if somebody says, okay, I want to get off these glasses. I took it down two of my subscription notches or whatever, and they're stuck on this last one, right? What are there certain techniques or interventions? They just have to give them more time.
I have a whole troubleshooting playlist just because there's so many things that I've found over the years that people misjudge. Most commonly probably is people aren't improving and they think they don't have as much screen time as they do. It's like an addict who doesn't recognize his problem. And I'm like, okay, how much time do you spend on your screen? And they're like, oh, an hour or two. And I'm like, all right, screenshot your screen time history, right? And then it's like 7.5 hours average per day. That's why you're not improving. Like, as long as you keep reintroducing that spasm gives you more blur. And as long as that muscle is stuck, you can't work on your distance focus. You get to get that muscle unstuck first, the muscle is relaxed, and then you can work on your distance vision.
How does light play a role?
I was just about to ask about blue light.
Yeah, and blue light. Like, so if I'm in this room right now, it's kind of grainy because my light's kind of low. At night, I like to work in a low light. But let's assume I'm you know, I'm what am I, a foot and a half from my screen. I got my big iMac. I can step back even a little bit. Do I need more light, less light? Does orange light, blue light, certain bulbs?
More light's better to a
more
point.
More light's better?
Yeah, to a point, obviously. Again, here, what you can do is eye chart. And you can compare, for example, in shaded outdoor light, and indoors, where you will see a difference in your acuity, how clearly you can see, how far away. And with that, you can judge, even like, for example, if you look at text on your screen, if it gets blurry at all, at any distance, right? If you up the lights, and you, now you can see it better, you can tell that amount of more light would be helpful. Low light generally is not super great. The biology gets a little more involved, the rods and cones and which are activated in low light versus more light. Also, your eyes use contrast detection for focus, so that gets less active in low light. Your pupils get wider open, right? So all these things play a role in any refractive error that you have is going to be more noticeable in lower light. Also strains your eyes more, right? So like shaded outdoor light is like, oh man, I forget, like 1200 lux or so. Average indoor light might be like 300. Anything less than that, you know, you notice it. Because if you turn on more light and you can see more clearly, you're like, okay, that amount would be better. Blue light, okay, I'm no expert on blue light, right? Because I just deal with reversing short-sightedness.
Yeah.
My uneducated opinion on these blue light blocking glasses and all this stuff is Coke Zero, right? Sugar's bad. We fixed the Coke. There's no sugar in it. The problem is the Coke. The problem isn't the sugar. With the screens are the problem. It's not the blue light part of the screen, right? It's like saying low-fat yogurt or whatever the thing is where they're just like, okay, we're going to remove the problematic thing and sell you, right? Like, you need less screen time. Yes, the blue light's not great. Do you need blue light blocking glasses? My personal unfounded opinion is you should step away from that screen a couple hours before you go to bed, right? Like, you should drink water instead of Coke Zero. And the blue light glasses just make people feel better about their addiction to screens. And they buy the thing, they spend a bunch of extra money. It's just a bunch of marketing. A lot of those don't even have blue light blocking in them. You can change the blue light level just from your screen settings. Yeah, the whole blue light lenses thing is kind of silly.
What about the some of those blue light lenses are also marketed as eye strain relief? Is that just like a milder form of glasses, basically? Because they're, my understanding is they're just glasses that like might magnify a little bit or something, or they're like, or I actually don't even know what they do, to be honest.
Most of it goes back to those lenses cost $2 and they need to find a way to sell them to you for 50, right? So eye strain reducing, blah, blah, blah. It means nothing. The only thing that means something is the diopter number on the lenses, right?
What does diopter mean?
That's the power of the glasses. Yeah. So how much smaller or bigger things get when you look through the lenses. That's it. Everything else is just marketing talk. And a way, because these guys are really, these lenses are all made in China. They cost nothing. Not all of them, but pretty much. It's super simple to make. So now the company's sitting there going, how do we create a story around this that make these things worth $50, $100 or more.
Yep.
Right? Where the base cost is nothing. Yep.
I'm feeling pretty proud of myself right now. At the Warby Parker store, we had decided on the glasses JJ liked. They look good or whatever. So she got them and they asked, oh, you want the blue light filters? And it was kind of like they're upsell. And I'm like, I don't think that I need blue light. Like we have the blue light filter on the phone. It was an extra $100.
Oh
so I said no, and I'm so happy.
Company right there. Makes you cringe, doesn't it, Jake?
Yeah, because I have the wholesale price sheets for most manufacturers that the optometrist pays. Those are the prices I have. Lens coatings, like anti-reflective coating, anti-scratch coating, all those things are like 10 cents, 15 cents, 20 cents. It's nothing. $100 is just, it's just completely pure profit. You know, it's just money in the bank.
It's just making me lose faith in humanity at this point. I mean, because you're right. It is the customer that is paying for these products. But I mean, there is a lot of marketing around it. And I think part of the problem with the prescription, subscription, whatever you call it, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Why do we're in America, of course. Are you a U.S. citizen or are you from somewhere else?
I'm from Germany.
Oh, very cool. My family is German heritage. So the billions of marketing and lobbying dollars that have spent to prop up doctors as like this bastion of science and expertness in our culture is unbelievable, even though heart disease kills more people every year, then we have cancer, then we have this, and medical errors like 350,000. Like it's all the same. It's all the same stuff, man. This is literally just profit driven motive with, I would say, like in our culture, and it's really most industrial cultures at this point, you have lazy people that want an easy fix. They think they can just buy comfort or buy a fix or whatever. I'm seeing it more and more now in the eyesight industry. It's just a new checkbox of the same thing is happening.
Yeah, it is. And there's so much weird stuff because you were talking about heart disease. I was on a podcast, Ivor Cummins.
Just talked about him earlier.
Yeah, I was on his podcast and he enlightened me about coronary artery calcification that I knew nothing about. My parents are both doctors. My dad was like, you got to be on statins because you have high cholesterol. I didn't. I did some research. Didn't make sense. Nobody has ever mentioned this thing to me. And I actually found a hospital that does that scan to check, right? Like if the arteries in my heart are getting calcified. So will I get heart disease or not?
Yep.
My score was zero. So it was perfect. But listening to Ivor and that whole topic, like that is the number one killer. And
they don't even test for it correctly. They don't talk about it. They don't test for it correctly. They give you some drug that the companies push on you and the doctors get kickbacks. And it's literally multi-billion-dollar industry statins. Like, it's just unbelievable. I call them accidental conspiracies. At this point, I feel like the eyesight industry is maybe a blatant conspiracy or just, I mean, I'd have to look more into the history of it. I mean, it's just insane.
The thing is, all of those, the fascinating thing to me as a silly person is all the signs I quote on the website and all the stuff you find, the journals where these things are published, peer-reviewed and published, are all optometry and ophthalmology journals. So these are the publications by and for optometrists and ophthalmologists. These people should know this. It's like what boggles my mind is I'm literally quoting, like if you're in car sales, I'm quoting a car magazine and you never heard of it. You know, I'm like, okay, so near-induced transient myopia is how all short-sightedness starts, or almost all short-sightedness. Go to 10 optometrists and ask them about it. They're all going to be like, you're buying glasses or what?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I don't even know. Like, conspiracy seems to give them too much credit.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's why I call them accidental, because nobody thought this out. It's like market forces, it's profit motive, it's, you know, cheap manufacturing, you know, being all sourcing from China, like all these things converge to just create this like this behemoth, right? But so actually that's a good point though. Optometrists, and what was the other one? What are they called?
Ophthalmologists.
So do they handle like medical issues that aren't just about buying glasses? Like, do they have other things they do as doctors? Is it just so small that it seems like they kind of shifted their entire industry into like basically selling eyeglasses?
People are going to get pissed at me for this one. So optometrists claim they don't just sell glasses, but they also check for eye conditions. I always tell people, if you want an eye checkup, go to an ophthalmologist. That's an actual doctor, right? It's a profession that requires a lot more schooling. It's a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. Even though they both deal with eyes, the optometrist has some amount of latitude. It depends on the area, and it depends on, like, in the U.S., it's different than in Germany. But by and large, an optometrist can, yes, they can check your eye health, but in a very basic manner. And I always say, if you walk into a place and the first thing you see is a bazillion fashion brand frames and you're in a shopping mall, that's not the place to go get a health checkup.
Or Walmart. You can find them in Walmart. to.
Just no.
It's just unbelievable. All right. So what are some questions that we haven't asked? And then we'll get some plugs in of where, you know, we can learn more. I assume it's mostly your website and articles, or do you have like a download or an email list or something that people can get?
I have all kinds of stuff. Yes, there's an email subscriber list. You asked before. So everything on the site's free, right? And 95% of people that you read progress reports from are doing the free stuff. Like I do investing and I do stock trading to make money. So this isn't really my thing. Mainly I'm, well, you said angry. I started out as angry and now I'm just, who knows? But you can do it for free. There's an email sign up that takes you through a little 7-day, teach you the basics of biology and some of the stuff that we talked about and where to go next. So it kind of gives you a basis.
I want to be getting that myself.
Yes, I do have some courses. There's a super simple basic thing. And then there's a guided, more complex thing. Helps pays the bills, right? Like, so I'm trying not to foot, because this thing has gotten expensive over the years. But
well, 1,000 article or whatever you said, a lot of articles that your hosting costs go up. If you have traffic, your costs go up. People think internet is like free. Like they don't understand how the internet works. Like you have to pay every time somebody clicks on your website, you know, for the most part. I mean, depending.
Like right now we're building an app, an iPhone app. It's actually already functioning. It should be out in the next few weeks, hopefully, where you can just hold the phone up to your face and it will tell you how strong of glasses you need or how bad your eyesight is. So you can measure
and your phone. So is it gives you a gauge, but then you're not telling them to get glasses though, right? You're like basically saying this is where you're at, but this is how you can improve, right? This is like a measure.
It's measuring your eyesight. And then based on your measurement, there'll be explanations to help you understand what that means and what you can do about it. Right. So those things cost money. Lawyers cost money because me opening my big fat mouth has gotten me in trouble more than once. Like it's just not super cheap, right? Like, so there's the free DIY way, which means a little more digging around. And then there's some supported ways. Like if you want to support Enmiopia in the more serious program, I provide support myself also. Of course, we also have a big community. All that stuff's free. My main thing is all I want is if you don't want to be wearing glasses, that you can find an answer, an alternative. I'm not trying to push it on people. People don't care. The thing that bugs me is if I'm really sick of glasses and I go to an optometrist, I can't find answers. And I go on Google and I can't find answers. That's the only thing I want is somebody who's listening to this going, I hate glasses, for them to have a starting point to dig around.
Yeah. That's great. So we'll have.
I want to be the devil on the shoulder here, real quick. So we've just discussed how this industry is ridiculously profitable, right? And we've also talked about how you're a stock investor. So let's say we listen to the show, and our conclusion was these things are so profitable that I want to invest in them. Which are the?
No, he's shorting the market, and he's trying to take down all the stock with them. That's what's happening right now.
What is the?
Because our podcast is just going to get the word out there.
Right now,
what is the you know, Warby Parker? I don't know. I don't even know if they're publicly traded.
Right now is I wouldn't give any trading advice right now. We're in a weird freaking time.
Oh yeah. I mean,
right.
I'm just hanging back at this very moment. A lot of those industries, and there's niche industries, for example, oh man, there's so many, we could talk for hours about all this crazy shit that happens. You get glasses, your eyeball gets longer because of your glasses. And then when you get stronger glasses, your eyeball gets longer. It's called axial elongation, also on Google Scholar. What happens is the retina is attached in the back inside of your eyeball. It's not part of it. It's just attached. That goes to your brain. That takes the visual signal. But it's attached. And as the eyeball grows longer, like football shape, that attachment of the retina starts to pull away. So your risk of the retina detaching, or something called lattice degeneration, where parts of it start kind of falling apart, increases dramatically, right? Like where I was at -5, it was like 10 times the risk than if I didn't need to wear glasses. The laser surgery that you absolutely immediately need if you have retinal detachment is a $2.5 or $3 billion industry at this point. Also publicly traded companies in there. And if you read their portfolios and if you read their shareholder meeting notes, they're excited about the growth of their industry. Like if you read these things, you're just like, holy crap. Like excited. They use words like
in broad daylight.
And this thing You can get retinal detachment for all kinds of things. No medical advice. I'm not a doctor. All I'm saying is myopia takes the risk of retinal detachment from almost nothing to a lot more than almost nothing. And then you need that surgery, and people sell machines for that that make money. And that's a growing business also because more people get myopia. So if you were stock trading, I'm not going to give you stock advice, but there's tons of little niche industries like that that are just growing and that are going to mm-hmm. continue growing.
Yeah. Well, two questions, one statement, and then we're going to let you go. So the one statement was, let's think about the big food in USA and big pharma. Okay. So you can look at a graph and, you know, you're in the market. You can probably see these things and look at financial history or whatever, but you can see the rise in processed food consumption, the rise in the corporate profits of food companies, and then the rise of pharmaceutical profits. And they literally all just like track each other. And then you can also go back all the way to 1900 and the average American ate about a pound of sugar in like early 1900s. It's over 135 pounds of sugar a year for the average American right now. And then again, you can go back and you can track that. So, and then, but here's the thing, heart disease, cancer, it all tracks all of them at the same time, right? So that's why I call them accidental conspiracies, because nobody planned it. But what happened is people got sick from eating crappy mass-produced food, subsidized crops, right? Then pharmaceuticals created drugs to kind of mitigate those problems, right? And then what happens? You have selective funding of science. You have suppression of certain research projects that don't have a corporate end that get killed all the time. Like basically they get funded by Coca-Cola or these big companies. And if they're not going to find the result they want to find, they'll kill a study in the middle of a study and those never get published, right? So this is just the type of nonsense that goes on in anything where you're talking billions of dollars. That's what people need to understand. If somebody's making billions of dollars with a company, there's major side effects. And I don't care if that's Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Google, every company that's making billions of dollars, somebody is hurting as a result, some part of the market or a person or an individual, whatever. So people need to just wake up to this stuff. If you're going to blindly trust a doctor, blindly trust billion-dollar, you know, markets, basically, you might potentially pay the price. So that was a statement. The question
was a long statement.
Are there any books written about this?
There's tons of books. There's tons of books about
like the history of this and like that kind of uncover this, or like what do they look like?
There's books on how to deal with fixing your right. eyesight. There's a lot of them. I read all of them before I started this thing because I was trying to find answers. I didn't want to find my own. Mm. None of them are that great. There isn't a book that I know of that summarizes the whole rise of myopia. It's such a weird fringe topic. Like most people just don't care. Speaking of your statement though, patentable products are incredibly key. Like all the stuff I talk about, pseudomyopia, lens-induced myopia, axial elongation, all this stuff is in the clinical journals. The optometrist doesn't know. I have, amongst many other things, a internal sales presentation that was held in Hong Kong with the major optometry outlets showing these studies, like literally going, lenses cause myopia and it's reversible because the eyeball doesn't only get longer, it also gets shorter. That axial change thing goes in both directions. The only reason they talked about this, though, is because they introduced a new style of contact lenses that in their design vary the focal planes to reduce that effect of glasses causing more myopia.
Yep. Lost all faith in humanity. Finally, it's gone.
But it's humanity all the way around because it's not their fault. They're just part of a market, right? Like I tell people this stuff all the time and people don't care. They're just like, contacts. I pop them in and fine.
Yeah. So I know, I mean, I'm having a lower opinion of all of humanity, but I'm still trying to help them. So that's my saving grace. I can be mad at people and want to help them at the same time by waking them up. The final question is molecular degeneration.
Macular.
Sorry. Molecular sounds cool.
Molecular would be, yeah.
So macular degeneration, my grandma had that. I remember she would sit 2 feet from the TV, right? Because mm-hmm. she got to the point where she couldn't really see. And she even had to kind of look at the side of her eye. And she would watch TV like that. And if she wanted to look at us, she would have to look, she'd have her glasses on. And she'd like look at us this way because she had better vision that way. And we'd have to get super close. And she was at the point where she had one of those, you know, old person chairs where they're just like upright. They don't lounge back. And she's just sitting 2 feet from a 40-inch TV to try to be able to see anything. So, and she smoked. And some people, like I've heard people connect that to that. What do you know about that condition, if it even is one?
Almost nothing, unfortunately. There's so many like other eye conditions, and I'm just myopia is already.
I see.
eating all my time. A lot of those other things, like macular degeneration, I read some studies, like there seems to be diet links there, but
that was an issue too. Yep.
Yeah. I didn't really go down that rabbit hole because it doesn't, right? Like, it doesn't affect me personally. And there's already too many rabbit holes, but it seems like diet plays a role there.
So are there other conditions like that where glasses would be maybe almost like you have to get them? You know, or is it, again, like there's just so many and each one's kind of a case by case. Like, you know, we said, is there a point for where some people might need glasses? It sounds like most people get it just because they don't want to do the work or, you know, their eyes are getting blurry. So they go there and they get them. But it sounds like there might also be a whole host of, I don't know, are there genetic eye issues? Like, you know, in the beginning you said it's not genetics, but are there some that are genetic? Like, are there some that are outside that standard, you know,
for sure.
Why most people go?
Yeah. Absolutely. 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 Positively there are, but it's a vanishingly small percentage of the population that wears glasses, right? So if you go to an ophthalmologist, not an optometrist, an ophthalmologist who doesn't sell glasses and you're diagnosed with a condition, right? Like that is that has X, Y, and Z factors and symptoms and reasons, then yes, right? Like for sure, you need glasses. Like for all kinds of things, there's exceptions, right? Mainly though, most people that listen to this, their eyes were fine. And then whenever they started going to school or whenever they started being exposed a lot to close up, their parents took them to the optometrist, then they got glasses, then they got stronger glasses. That's what we're talking about. That's nothing. That's a lens subscription that you're roped into.
Yeah. One more question. I lied. So one more question. Is it true or have you heard or seen those Persian rugs? You know, those really nice big Persian rugs, because my grandparents, they actually had those all over the house. I've heard that young girls will go blind needling them, mostly because they're so up close. Like that. Have you seen people, like, can you actually go blind of just looking at something too up close for too long a period of time?
I don't know.
I've never heard anything along that line. That's crazy.
This is weird facts that rattle around in my head that I remember somebody said that and I'm like, wow, that's interesting.
Oh, I'd have to research it because I don't know. I mean, it's extreme cases a lot of times don't fall in my thing, right? Like whenever extreme things happen or out of the range things happen, I just go, okay, that's not my area, because there's a fair amount of those, but then the middle of the curve is where most of the action here is with myopia. I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Well, what was that case you said that it's a $2 to $3 billion industry where it gets up close and then it puts you at risk of like some kind of detachment? Would you go blind in that situation if that happened?
You could very well go blind. Like what happens is that retina, the thing that takes the visual signal in the back of your eyeball, I mean, that's the thing. It's actually part of your brain, not part of your eye. But that thing, when it starts detaching, like it's like it forms like a bubble. You have to fix that because otherwise the whole thing just continues detaching. And retinal detachment, the way you can tell is all of a sudden, it's super scary in your vision, right? Like you're looking at the screen right now, you start seeing a black spot, just a hole, just black, where it's just black, and it starts growing. That's why your retina is detaching. Like if you get that kind of symptom, you got to go to the ER like immediately, because it can just continue detaching till the whole thing's detached and then it's done. Currently, as far as I know, there's no known fix if you wait until the whole thing detaches. You still have
one. And so that's a byproduct of being too nearsighted for long periods of time.
It increases.
It can be. It can lead to that. It increases that.
It significantly increases your risk.
So maybe that's what happens to the Persian rug girls. Maybe that's what's happening.
Maybe.
I'm now curious myself. I want to figure that out. So I'm going to have to research that. Jake, this has been a pleasure, man. We appreciate you coming on. We will have all the links to everything in the show notes. Is there any kind of one final parting tip of advice or anything that you want to leave the audience with?
The biggest thing maybe, or this is something I've been really into lately, is the screen addiction bit, right? That people don't want to face. And I used to try to not talk about this at all. But one of the things I realized is that one of the biggest things that takes away from us, never mind eyesight, right? Like your eyesight gets messed up from the screen stuff, is we don't get bored, right? Back in the day, back when I was young, like there were no phones. So you would literally just get bored. And boredom is the seed of being creative.
Right? I was just going to say that. Creativity. Yep. They talk about that a lot. Every genius. Yep.
It murders your creativity. The phone is killing your creativity. So if you're like, man, I don't like that my eyesight is bad, but I'm not super motivated, follow that chain, right? You're addicted to the phone. And because you're addicted to the phone, you have no motivation, because motivation comes from you feeling discomfort from being bored. So putting the thing away and letting yourself literally get bored long enough to find something to do is also a great starting point of fixing your eyes.
Yeah, that's great. And the contrast principle, you know, there's a reason people become numb to things, or we have outrage culture because everything is so vanilla. They want to just make things more extreme, this and that. There's, I mean, psychological issues there, you know, that's why meditation, mindfulness has had a surge because it's needed more than ever. Yeah. I mean, people just need to get outside, get in the sun, look out in long distances, you know, across your field or whatever, and just detach from the screens a little bit. But that's a good place to end. Again, Jake, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Please always remember that the members of the Ancestral Mind podcast are not, in fact, medical professionals. They're not doctors. They're not nutritionists. They are simply providing this entertainment for you to do your own research and to entertain yourselves. So please consult a physician before changing your diet. Not everything works for everybody. And make sure you always do your own research on everything you hear on this show and outside.
We just launched our Patreon, so if you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Colin Stucker. That's patreon.com/ColinStuckert. We will have exclusive updates coming. It will also give us more opportunities to invest more in the show and release more shows. Some other bonuses with the different tiers. Check it out over at patreon.com, and thank you for your support. Another way that you can support the show is you can head over to Wild Foods and use code AMPODCAST12 for 12% off your entire order of real food, superfood, supplements, and ingredients. These are products that I've been using myself in my daily life for years. I recommend checking out our fish oil and our collagen, and also make sure you check out the Cocotropic. It's one of my favorite products. Cocoa, mushrooms, delicious. Head over to wildfoods.co and use AMPODCAST12 for 12% off your entire order. I want to let you know about my newest podcast over at Escaping Fragility, a show about building a life for yourself, being safe, being secure, having a plan B, so that if this crazy world of 2020 continues or gets worse, which a lot of the numbers are suggesting it will, then you and your family will be protected. A lot of my content for my personal brand has been focused on giving people the knowledge, the expertise, the skills, and just the awareness of some of the craziness that's going on so that they can protect themselves, so that they can fight back, so that they can be civilly disobedient, so that we can stymie the ever encroaching spread of government and of corporate and political agenda. If more citizens do not stand up, fight back, speak up, there's going to be nothing left to protect. And I don't like fear mongering, and I'm generally an optimistic person, but 2020 has stressed me out. At first it didn't, but then it did. When I really saw what was going on, when I read a little bit between the lines, and even now, the craziness is continuing, and I don't see it letting up anytime soon. The masses are too easily manipulated. And so I'm more concerned what's going to happen in 2021 when the next flu season comes through and another coronavirus is weaponized, and then who knows what's going to happen? Travel restrictions, mandatory vaccines, chipped and prodded like cattle. People think it can't happen. They stick their head down, but they did in Mao's China. They did in Stalin's Russia. They did in Nazi Germany. And then it was too late. And who pays the price? It's always, always, always the citizens that are having faith and that are just hoping things get better. They're the ones that always pay the price. So the first thing we can do is protect ourselves and our family, have our plan B, have an escape option, and then we can help others. Head over to Colin.coach, get on the AM5 newsletter. You'll get all the shows every week. And you can also find me on YouTube and iTunes or Spotify or Google Play. Get prepared before it's too late.